show which is all about integrative medicine for cancer. I'm Robin Daly, the founder of the charity Yes to Life, which is the UK's integrative cancer care charity. If you've got any sort of familiarity with approaches to cancer that lie outside of conventional medicine, then you won't have failed to bump into the three fundamentals of, let's say, unconventional medicine. Reduce sugar, alkalize, and increase oxygen levels. It's this third one that today's show focuses on. There are many ways in which you can look to raise oxygen levels, but an increasingly popular one is hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT for short. The reason for this increase in popularity is the growing awareness that there are around 50 facilities in the UK already set up to provide this service, but are only just becoming apparent to people with cancer, as they're in MS centres. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy is well established as a way of helping MS, particularly in combating fatigue. Of course, fatigue is no stranger to those with cancer, and relief from this debilitating side effect alone would be reason enough to have hyperbaric oxygen therapy. But in addition, oxygen also has an effect on the progress of cancer, particularly in tandem with some other integrative approaches such as the ketogenic diet. I've been aware of HBOT for some years, but I've never seen an installation for myself, or even a photograph of one, so I jumped at the chance of an open day at the Hertfordshire MS Therapy Centre in Letchworth. The voice you hear initially is Mark Bosher, Executive Director, introducing visitors to the centre.
We love oxygen treatment. I do it for myself personally, but we're very careful to say we're not making any claims, we're not pretending it fixes everything. It doesn't. But it does help a lot of people. And it'd be great to have a conversation to explore whether it might help you. And if, especially if today you're here because of cancer and exploring whether oxygen is helpful, I can take you on that journey to some extent. But I especially warmly commend connecting through Yes to Life with Patricia Pete and Cancer Options, because I have access to experts about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And I know from what Patricia Pete writes about oxygen therapy that she understands that subject extremely well, and she understands that in the context of all the other options that a person with cancer might have. So, you know, I feel, you know, it's a great thing if you're interested to explore, because Patricia Pete will give you the best information and evidence that is available. And at the end of the day, it's always then up to you to choose if you want to do that. Oxygen therapy is extraordinarily safe, and you can make a decision of, well, I'm going to give it a go if you want. Right, this is enough talk. Let's mill about, and do whatever you like. Has been doing oxygen treatment here for a little while. She'll tell us for how long, and she's been managing cancer in her life, and oxygen has been a part of that. So I think we haven't rehearsed the script. I don't know what she's going to say. It could be terrible.
God help you all.
All right? But I think basically Julia's going to tell us her story.
Right, okay. Hi there, my name's Julia. And basically in 2009, I had cancer. I had a segmental mastectomy and lots of radiotherapy. And it was breast cancer. I like to call it boob cancer personally, because breast reminds me of turkey. Anyway, after that, what happened was I was very tired, very debilitated, carried on at work. I work at the University of Hertfordshire. And then I found in 2011 another lump in the same boob. So went to the breast care unit at the QE2. They said, no, nothing. And I said, don't you think you should do this, that, and the other? No. So anyway, to cut a long story short, 4 months later, after discovering this, I went to my local GP. And he said to me, Julia, sorry to tell you, but it looks pretty obvious to me that the cancer's come back. So remember, that's only like a two-year gap, really, which your remission factor is 5 years when you're kind of semi out of the woods, or so they say. And then 10 years and you should be clear, but I don't necessarily agree with that. anyway, I started looking at alternatives, and basically I had a full mastectomy, I had a lot of chemotherapy, and I was completely bald, everybody, with no eyebrows. So I wasn't a pretty sight, but I didn't care. I thought to myself, do you know what? Hold your head up high, go about doing your own thing, go to restaurants and enjoy yourself, which is exactly what I did. And I don't know if any of you have had chemotherapy here, but it's a pretty horrendous thing to endure. And after that, my mum said to me about Letchworth Oxygen Centre. She'd had a stroke and she was doing some physio here. So I happened to come along one day and I was speaking to some people, and I'd also done quite a lot of research on the internet. And basically, I'm a great believer that alternative therapies can also go run alongside with mainstream medicine to do with cancer. So I came along here, and in 2.5 years, I've had 8 massive operations. 6 of them have been over a 10-hour duration. So that's quite heavy going on your body. And what I discovered on the internet was that, believe it or not, that in China, whenever you've had an operation of any means, any sort, they put you straight into an oxygen chamber because it absolutely accelerates any healing, you know, and it's the best thing to do. So I thought, well, okay then, I'll give it a whirl. And that was 2.5 years ago, and I felt pretty grim. I'd been cut from hip to hip to make my new, what I call my belly boob. And basically, I thought, okay, let's give it a whirl. And if you saw me 2.5 years ago, I was walking like this. I couldn't even walk up straight. I had hardly any hair, and I thought, right, give it a whirl. I've done it now for 2.5 years. I think it is absolutely superb. I work full time, which I would never, ever be able to do without this chamber. It accelerated all the tissue, and people who were taking a year to recover, it took me about 5 months. So it's absolutely marvellous. I went on holiday last year to Cyprus. I missed 3 sessions, and did I feel it, because I was literally getting out of bed every morning thinking, I've got to drag myself here and drag myself there to try and continue with my daily life. Because you can see that, you know, I'm a bit of an energizer bunny. But basically, all I can say is it's done wonders for me. And I've also done research. Mainstream doctors don't agree with me. Well, some of them do, some of them don't. But basically, I believe that if you have any rogue cancer cells in your body, pure oxygen, as it is in there, kills off cancer cells. Hate oxygen. So while I believe that, I think I look pretty good considering 2 years ago I was bald. If you'd like to ask me any questions, do feel free.
But I want to embarrass 2 other people, Sue and Claire. So Sue, who are you? Why are you here?
Well, I'm here actually with Robin, who's hiding in the corner. Robin's the founder of the charity that I now run. The charity is called Yes to Life, and we support what we call integrative medicine, which is using the best of orthodox and the best of complementary and alternative medicine together. So it's basically we support what works for somebody with cancer. So you get the obviously you get the orthodox bit through the NHS. And that's pretty much all you get. You might get a little bit of acupuncture if you're lucky, paid for. You might get a little bit of nutritional help, although we're slightly at odds with what hospitals talk about in terms of nutrition and what the evidence is about nutrition and cancer. And we the CAM part of treatment, we help support people with information, knowledge. We have a directory on our website that we work hard to be the sort of point to go to find where you can get therapies, to find practitioners that are working in the integrative medicine field and the CAM field, and organisations, and that's across the UK and worldwide. And we have a small funding scheme where we help those that really need support for the CAM side, which at the moment is gone like that, and our pot of money is like this. So we're always working hard to raise money to help more people. People are researching and getting knowledgeable themselves. So the more people that question when they're diagnosed with cancer, what else can I do, the more chance they've got of getting.
Well done.
Thank you.
So Sue and Robin from Yes to Life. And for me, one of the remarkable things about this charity is that they are connected really well with a bunch of other cancer charities, and especially with Cancer Options and Patricia Pete, who provides brilliant advice, and you can get that through Yes to Life, including advice on whether oxygen therapy might help with your particular cancer. Now that's a brilliant source of information to have access to.
What's really interesting is I know the world of hyperbaric oxygen treatment pretty well. And I have experts that I can consult if a person presents with a condition that we've not treated before. And I'll ask them what information is available for me about that condition. So those people are top class people that I have huge respect for. But knowing that, when I see the advice that's presented by Patricia Pete at Cancer Options, where she talks about a wide range of things, including oxygen treatment, wow, I can say she really, really knows her oxygen treatment stuff. And a person who's taken oxygen treatment with us said, I had some brilliant advice from Patricia, would you like me to send you her email? Oh yes, please. Now that's how I found out how very, because a lot of people know a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's kind of where I feel I am.
I don't know what she knows about B12 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay? But I do know what she knows about oxygen. I think, look at her neck. You know that stuff that well. That gives me a lot of confidence that you're a safe pair of hands. And Yes to Life are brilliant because they would even fund a one-off assessment, interview, whatever you call it, with Patricia Pete, who would say, well, look, out of the wide range of things, based on the best evidence that's available, here's some suggestions that you might like to consider. And I don't need her to say the answer to everything is oxygen. I don't need that. It's not true. When she's giving that advice, and she'll often say things like, well, actually, best results are a specialist diet, like a ketogenic diet, and oxygen together. And bearing in mind that I've read, you know, the kind of research she's referring to, I think there's, you know, that's a person who's independent of me.
Yeah.
You know, I do not push oxygen just for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
I make options open to people. But I'm really glad when there's somebody like Patricia Pete,
yes,
that people can go and talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't have a vested interest in my oxygen program.
Yeah.
She'll tell you what she thinks, and I love that to pieces.
I'm going to talk to Dawn now. Dawn Wells.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
what do you do for the centre here?
I look after the marketing and PR for the centre.
Okay. And you're changing direction a bit, it seems, to us at Yes to Life, in as much as you're engaging with cancer patients. So that's unusual for an MS centre. Tell us a bit about that.
It came about through the oxygen therapy that we offer, the hyperbaric oxygen chamber that we have at the centre.
Right.
And whilst we are known as the Heart's MS Therapy Centre, we do open our doors to anybody with any long-term condition. And we found people were coming to us who had cancer and they wanted oxygen therapy because it was helping them to regain energy,
mm-hmm.
and to heal faster after surgery as well. So if they'd either had to have surgery or they've had chemotherapy or radiotherapy, they were finding it helpful. And we thought, well, we don't see a huge number of people with cancer, and obviously there are loads of people who we could be helping.
True.
So we decided that we wanted to find out more about that and see what we could do about it.
Mm.
Because we have the chamber here, and the more it's used, the better.
Absolutely.
So we found out more about it, and we applied for a grant to specifically aim to help people with cancer.
Right.
And to raise awareness of how oxygen therapy may help those people. And we were successful with the grant, fortunately. So that means that we've been able to do a whole raft of events and promotions specifically aimed at raising awareness amongst people with cancer of how oxygen therapy may be able to help them, and also be able to signpost them to other support agents as well, such as Yes to Life.
Brilliant. That's great. So what kind of activities have you been doing with the aid of this grant, and how are you getting out?
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's really made a big difference
to
us.
Yeah, sure.
We've done some, we can afford advertising now, which
Whoa.
We haven't done before.
No.
We've got, around our area in Harts, we've got some local newspapers, but we've also got local community-based magazines. And we've done both of those. We've found the community magazines very successful for us in the past, but we've also now been able to afford to do more things with the local newspaper as well. And because we are advertising, they're being more supportive with our press releases.
All right.
So that means they've got the press releases out as well.
Yeah.
Last year, we ran a series of what we call leading edge events for medical professionals, which gave them their CPD points.
Yes.
So people came through for those. So we have a contact database full of those people who attended the events. We emailed those and told them we had this project going and that we might be able to help people that they're seeing. They're not specifically cancer-based, but they will know people for whom we can help.
So you're anticipating getting some cancer professionals in here to tell them about...
That would be wonderful, yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And we've heard that our local hospital, the cancer people there, the doctors, consultants, the head guy is changing. So if when the new guy comes in or the new lady comes in, then it would be lovely to be able to involve them.
Wouldn't it?
So yeah, so it's fresh thinking, fresh people into the role, yeah.
So basically you've been here a long time. When was it first opened?
The centre's been here for over 30 years, yes.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
But presumably at a certain kind of level and known about in the MS community, and that's about as far as it's gone.
That's
but
right,
this
yes.
is kind of giving you the oomph to be able to break out the box.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
We've over the last couple of years, we've tried to call ourselves a therapy centre rather than the MS therapy centre.
Yeah.
We've certainly seen people with a wide range of different conditions, and whether it's chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, or whether it's ME as well as MS, but as I say, cancer people coming through as well, so which gave us the idea that actually we could do even more for this group of people, so that, hence the funding, and hence the events and the marketing. So yeah, we're just keen to help wherever we can. It doesn't really matter what people are coming through the door with, we're able to try and help.
And do you think your kind of initiative is being reflected amongst other MS centres around the country, or...? Is it variable?
I would say variable is a good word, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I know that some MS centres do open their doors and welcome anybody the same as us. Others are strictly just for people with MS.
Yeah.
Because I know we have people that come to us for whom they have a closer MS centre.
Yeah,
but because
I
they
understand.
Don't have MS, they can't go there for oxygen therapy, so they come here. But whenever people come through to us, if they're not local, we will find out if their nearest centre will take them.
Yes.
So if we can avoid a longer journey for them, then we will.
So do you think your example here is going to inspire other MS centres to be much more proactive like you are?
So, yeah, I mean, certainly I think what's quite different about us, and I think other charities as well, but not necessarily all the MS centres, that we do operate very much as, and we've got services that we offer, and we think of it as a more of a business. We need to raise awareness of it, we need to get people into the centre and not wait for people to come to us.
Yeah. Good, proactive, fantastic. All right, lovely to talk to you, Dawn. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you.
So, Roger, your job is to keep this machine afloat here.
Basically, there's very little to do to it. The only thing that we do have to regularly do is to change the seal on the door.
Okay. See, it looks like a submarine, but you operate the machine every day, yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot of operators. Got a long list of volunteers. There's loads of them.
Okay, and there are sort of safety issues and things you have to deal with, obviously with high pressure, presumably.
Yeah, you go through a training stage, and I mean, the good thing about this is it is so simple to work.
Okay, good.
You know, basically. Obviously, we can speak to the people, we can see the people
inside while it's running. Yeah, you've got cameras. Yeah.
This is an O2 monitor, so obviously, people, especially new starters, they might not have the mask fitting properly, etc. It's perfectly safe, but if you get a 25% oxygen in the chamber, an alarm goes off on that. and we have to do what they call flush the system.
Okay, so that's in order to keep the chamber itself just fairly regular levels of oxygen.
Yeah. Like I say, it still wouldn't be a fire hazard even if at 25, but that's what we've set it at. And if we flush the session, basically you're opening the exhaust valve, letting the old air out, and then you're putting new air in by the air intake and holding the pressure, because that way it won't affect people's ears as long as you keep the pressure the same.
So you're just exchanging the contents.
Yeah, so we're just taking the old air out and putting fresh air in, and the people, they just continue breathing the oxygen. It has no effect on them as such.
Okay,
just
so anybody who's in there can talk to you, basically, and they can protest if something's wrong.
Yep.
They can, and you can end the session if need be.
Or just put the hand up and you stop it, stop pressurising. Mm. 99% of problems happen during pressurisation.
And they're like things to do with people's ears.
Once you've reached pressure, it's very, very rare that it has an effect on anyone. Wouldn't advise anyone with a cold to go in.
No. And do you have people who get claustrophobic?
You do.
I mean, it's not that small in there. It's quite big. Really.
It's not too bad.
It's almost like a small
when
room.
When it's full, it can be quite claustrophobic. Yeah. And sometimes, if you're surrounded with people with big wheelchairs, you can feel quite enclosed. The majority of people are fine. And a lot of the time, if people come and they say, look, I don't know if I'll be able to cope with this, it might be a bit too claustrophobic for it. Mark will go in with them. He'll just sit there with the door open and say, you know, chat away, how does it feel, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then say, well, okay, we're not going to lock it, but we'll just close the door up and get people relaxed.
So just ease people into it.
Get people used to it. So we have had definitely one person who said, no,
couldn't
handle it.
Yeah, but that's hundreds, thousands.
Yeah. Oh, God,
yeah. Okay.
There's one lady that comes in regularly. She rushes in, grabs a jack for the radio, says, oh, hello, sorry I'm late, because she's always late.
Yes.
Jumps in, sits down, bang, straight down, and then she comes out, hands the jack back, thank you very much, and bang, she's gone.
Busy life,
Okay.
But she's fitting it in, which is good.
And you get other people that come in, they like to sit and have a chat before they go in,
For some people, it's a real social event.
I can imagine. I can imagine where you get to see other people who've got similar problems.
Yeah, and also a lot of people that the only person, if they're severely disabled, the only person that maybe they see is a carer because they don't have family living with them. So for some people, it's a human contact.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, like Dorothy, bless her heart, she's 83 or 84. She actually did come in yesterday for her first session since she's done her block, and it was so nice to see her.
Right.
And she said, oh, it's so nice to be back, because she gets people to chat to and that. And
that's very important.
She was over the moon because the reason she was having the treatment, she had a lot of leg ulcers, really sore and nasty, and she's just been given the all clear.
Great. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
This is Mark Boscher, who's the Executive Director of the centre here.
Yep, Mark.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask you a bit. Obviously, you're broadening your horizons a bit. It's an MS centre, but it's not just MS patients who are here today. And some cancer patients and a lot of other diseases are actually seeking out these centres now. What's your experience of this, of its usefulness in a broader range of problems? And why do you think there aren't any cancer centres that have got a hyperbaric oxygen chamber? Why is that? Why are they not being used more broadly?
Yeah, I find it very interesting that people with multiple sclerosis seem relatively well organised to say, actually, if we're not getting what we need, what we feel perhaps the NHS could have provided, we're not going to just sit there and say, oh, well, that's it. They've actually organised. And across the country, there's about 50 independent MS therapy centres.
Fantastic.
And I think that's a really interesting model for people with any condition.
Right.
But more, and these centres have mostly existed for 30 years or so. Mm. But there's a trend now for some of them, and certainly our centre, the Hertfordshire MS Therapy Centre to say if the treatments we provide can help people with MS, why wouldn't we open the door for other people who might also benefit from that? And very quickly, the two things we focus on are physiotherapy. Well, you know, if our physio helps people with MS, it can help people with any neurological condition, sometimes other conditions. And on the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, we've had long history of helping substantial numbers of people with MS, but in the last 2 years, we've been attempting to open the door and connect with people with a wide range of other conditions, especially at the moment we're focusing on people who have cancer or other conditions where they might experience really debilitating fatigue. Mm. So, and that's something we're familiar with our people with MS.
Yeah.
Applies, of course, in a classic way to people with ME or chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia, but very often also applies to people living with cancer.
No, it's ranked as the top sort of complaint, if you like, of people with cancer is fatigue. And it comes not only from the cancer itself, but of course from the cancer treatments as well. They both push people in the direction of having no energy at all.
And we're very comfortable with conventional medicine, but we think that many people might well want to consider, are there other options that can help us? Mm. And we think that hyperbaric oxygen therapy is one of those that can help some, who knows, maybe even a lot of people with cancer. We're not pretending it's a cure-all or a fix, but it can help significant numbers, and we'd just love those people to have the option to think about that and check out the evidence to find out if it might be of use to them.
Mm-hmm. And so from your point of view running the centre here, you've got obviously it's a very expensive bit of kit, and it's in your interest to actually have it used to the maximum. So that's another reason, if you like, to open the door to lots of other people.
And I'm totally comfortable to say our first objective as a charity is we actually like to help people. And it's a thrill to help people with any condition, not just our original audience of people with MS, but we also have to keep the doors open. We have to pay our bills. And the more people who come and pay something towards the costs of their treatment, the easier it is to keep the centre open and available for everybody.
That's brilliant. So what's your experience in the growth of numbers of cancer patients who are coming here? Is it?
Well, we've only just started explicitly trying to connect with people with cancer.
Right.
And over the 32 years that we've been doing oxygen treatment, we've had a small number of people coming ad hoc from time to time, and the door's always been open.
Right.
But now we're actually saying, let's actually get more active, advertise, get stories in the local media, and raise our profile so people with cancer can say, maybe that could help me.
Gotcha,
let's find out.
Yeah, excellent, that's brilliant. Okay, so maybe we just talk a little bit about the actual process itself. Are there any downsides at all?
Well, there is one problem you can have in a pressurized chamber, and that is we pressurize it, and therefore the pressure goes to your ears and can affect a person's ears just like some people are affected in an aircraft. But when a person starts with us, we have a member of staff go in the chamber for their first session and teach people how to make sure they don't get uncomfortable and they certainly don't experience any pain, because we teach people how to pop their ears to clear that pressure, and when they can do that, then they're able to enjoy the benefits of oxygen without the potential problems of pressure going to their ears.
Okay,
well, other than their ears, it's an extraordinarily safe procedure, because all you're doing is breathing more oxygen than usual.
Right.
And your body's pretty happy breathing oxygen. It's not like conventional medicine where there are contraindications and side effects that you have to be weighing carefully. Are the benefits really worth the side effects? This is extremely safe. isn't it great to have something that might help you without doing you any harm?
So would you say it's safe for people at any stage of treatment as well in that case?
Now you're straying into a very important area,
right.
And I don't give advice about whether oxygen treatment would help an individual. What I do is I try to connect them with the best information so they can decide for themselves. Now, I can explain in great detail the process of how we provide oxygen therapy. We can show people the chamber, help explain, what it means to wear a mask and all the rest. But on that crucial question, will it help me? I will always say, I don't know. It helps a lot of people, but it doesn't help everyone. Mm-hmm. And this is where I signpost people with cancer to Yes to Life, because we have great respect for the quality of the information available through your helpline, and we very much respect the close connection you have with Patricia Peat and Cancer Options, and I have a great deal of respect for the knowledge that Patricia Peat has about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So when a person asks me, will this help me? I will say to everybody, whether they've asked or not actually, I don't know. But there are people, especially Yes to Life and Cancer Options, who you can go to with that question.
Great, thank you. Yeah, okay, so maybe we just talk about the actual, what's going on in there, because there's kind of two separate things. There's the pressure of the chamber itself, and then there's the fact you have a mask where you're breathing oxygen there. And two things going on. So why the two things, and how do they work together?
Okay, so if we start off with that funny name, hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Yes.
The hyperbaric literally means high pressure. Mm-hmm. But the first thing is, it's probably fairer to call it low pressure. But that's the name that stuck. So the first thing is, in an oxygen chamber, in an MS therapy center, the most pressure we deliver oxygen therapy at is one extra atmosphere.
That's twice as much as normal.
That's right. Okay. So if you think of divers going down underwater, it's the equivalent of 33-foot dive. It's the equivalent of a 10-meter dive at the maximum. And there are two kinds of hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber. The chamber's for one person at a time.
Okay.
And a chamber for multiple people at a time. In a one-person chamber, you don't wear a mask. The whole of the chamber is filled with pure oxygen. I'm only aware of one chamber like that in the UK. Mm-hmm. All the chambers in MS therapy centres are multi-person chambers. And this comes back to, that's why we wear a mask. Because we have, in our chamber, up to seven people at a time in there, it wouldn't be safe to fill that chamber with pure oxygen. So we pressurize the chamber with regular air. Then we put on our mask and breathe 100% pure oxygen through the mask. It's going straight into my lungs or into your lungs, all right? But it's not filling the chamber, and that keeps it very safe. And that's the reason we wear a mask.
Right, so when you're talking about danger, you're talking about fire danger.
Yeah, I mean, pure oxygen is flammable.
Yes.
And
one spark.
Yeah, so one spark would have a dramatic impact.
It would.
And I like to say we haven't lost a single customer yet.
No.
We're quite keen to keep it that way.
Very good, yeah. Okay.
Can I just add that the reason we do it under pressure at all is so that your body can absorb as much of that oxygen as possible. So right here, outside of an oxygen chamber, if I put on a mask and breathe 100% pure oxygen, it's not a surprise that I will have a higher level of oxygen in my bloodstream. But even though the pressure levels are quite modest, they actually increase the amount of oxygen that will be carried in your bloodstream. And so if you can't get to an oxygen chamber, breathing without, breathing high levels of oxygen will be great. But if you can get to a pressurized chamber like this, it's even better.
Okay, so why can you say a bit more specifically why it helps people with MS, for example? What's it doing for them?
Right. Well, People with MS, of course, have a range of symptoms. The like with people with cancer, the symptom that affects the greatest number of people with MS is a truly crippling, debilitating fatigue. And approximately two-thirds of people with MS find it gives them more energy.
Okay, well that's a good result.
And the person decides for themselves, is this helping me or not?
Right.
And they know whether they've got more energy or not, or whether in fact they are able to do a lot more than they could otherwise, and will decide for themselves. And we think that's really great, that the person gets to work out, is this working for me? Is this helping? And you know, I will hear from time to time a person say, well, I was away for a holiday for 3 weeks, and actually I can feel in my body, I really need to get back in there and do my oxygen therapy because I'm feeling that lack of energy come back again. And sometimes just one session a week will keep that person feeling that they've got, you know, more energy for life.
So that's another question to do with then. Is there a long-term benefit from just doing it, i.e. if you did it for a year, would you then be better off after that year than if you hadn't done it? Or
yes.
Is it the case that the benefit goes with the therapy always?
It's a good question. If we just stick to people with cancer for a moment,
okay.
I would say that's a question that if I wanted to ask that question myself personally, I know the mechanics of oxygen very well, and I know the general principles that a lot of people benefit from it. But I would actually ask Patricia Pete at Cancer Options, what is the best information and research available that would address, you know, what are the long-term benefits of this?
Mm.
My approach here is to facilitate a client's choice if they wish to come to me and say, I want to do oxygen treatment.
Right.
And if they say they want to do oxygen treatment, we will go through a process with them, including asking them to inform their medical team. But it's actually that client or patient's choice if they want to do that. And they're taking responsibility for themselves. They're taking responsibility to consider, is this something I want to do? Is this something I consider safe? Is this something I consider reasonable? And we can signpost them through Yes to Life to Patricia Pete to find out if there's information that will help that person to say, is this likely to help me with my particular cancer and the particular symptoms I'm experiencing, this particular stage I'm at with it?
Yeah. You already said how many centres there were, I've forgotten.
Something like 50 around the UK.
50, so there's likely to be one nearby wherever you are.
Well, hopefully, and
yeah.
If you can't find one near to you, you can always contact me. People, the world is welcome. Oh, I may regret saying this.
You might.
The world is welcome to contact me to find out where there's one near them.
Yes.
But I'll give you a clue so that you can jump on Google and have a chance of finding out where there is one nearest to you. And the name of my centre is the Hertfordshire MS Therapy Centre.
Okay.
So you can Google on that and contact us. But we belong to a federation that joins together these 50 MS therapy centres.
Yeah.
And they have a website listing where they are with an interactive map. You put your postcode in and they'll tell you which ones are closest to you. And to find that, what you need to Google on is the Multiple Sclerosis National Therapy Centre.
Okay.
And then you'll get the website and you can find out where there's one close to you.
And as to whether they open their doors to other conditions, that's
good,
not entirely
very,
informed,
very good question. I'm pleased you asked that.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. It's my feeling that the vast majority will welcome people with any condition. But I am aware of one or two who say, well, actually, we're so busy helping people with MS that sadly, we don't have capacity to help anyone else. But I don't know more than one or two like that. So it's always worth asking the ones nearest to you.
Yeah.
And hey, our doors are wide open and you can always contact us if you wish.
Brilliant. Last thing to ask, very importantly to people, about costs, because you know, this is obviously a very limiting factor for people
yep.
who've got cancer. They might quite often very poor as a result of their health.
Yep.
And so, yeah, they want to take a stab at some other kind of treatment, they definitely got to watch the pennies. So,
yep.
So can you give us some ideas about how much treatment they're likely to have any benefit, and how much that's likely to cost?
Yep. I can be very specific there.
Okay.
First of all, I refer to people might come once a week.
Okay.
But that's after an initial program of 20 treatments. And this is based on the best information that I get from national experts in this subject.
So it's like 20 to build you up to a certain
that's
kind
right.
of level.
So
yeah?
We start with 20.
I see.
In as near to 4 weeks as people can manage.
I see.
So in an ideal world,
wow.
that's Monday to Friday for 4 weeks.
So
but there's not many people. That's
yeah.
very full on. Not many people can manage that. Mm. But hey, if it stretches to 5 weeks or who knows, even six, it's still an intense series of treatments
yeah.
in a relatively short period of time. And that's why I use the phrase 20 in as close to 4 weeks as you can muster.
Yeah.
Now, on the price, our standard price, and this will vary from each therapy center around the country. They're all independent, so they have different price structures, but this is our price structure.
Mm.
The price for a one-off treatment is £41. But we are very aware that if you're trying to pack 20 in, that would cost £820.
Okay.
Our price is actually £290. That's an average of £14.50 per treatment when you're doing that initial 20.
Mm.
And we're trying to work out ways to spread the costs across groups of people, sharing treatment programs, and that helps us to lower the price.
Yes.
And still try to keep the bills
yeah.
paid.
So the fuller your chamber is all the time,
yep.
the better it is for
yep.
everybody.
Eventually, we'd love to be so busy that we can say, you know, we can even lower the price
brilliant.
Further.
That's great. So that's, of course, because you're not a business, you're actually trying to help people, so you're trying
yep.
to make it as cheap as you can,
yep.
which is brilliant.
Yep.
Okay, well, look, I mean, you know, in terms of costs for this kind of thing, that's very low. But, what you're offering is fantastic. So anyway, thank you very much for talking about it. It's a great facility. Very interested to come here and try it out for myself and to see what you're up to. Thank
well,
you.
We're going to give you a test session now. Thanks very much.
Okay, I'm heading in for some hot spring therapy. So what we have here is a kind of underwater looking cylinder with six chairs inside of it. And so people sitting down each side facing each other, and each person's got a mask which they're trying on, but they're not needed at the beginning. And there are hoses going to each mask
sorry,
behind
sorry,
the chairs.
Sorry.
It does look a bit like being in a submarine, I've got to say, or some sort of Jules Verne device for game beneath the sea. So the inside is gaily decorated with octopuses and fish and things just to add to the effect of being 20,000 leagues under.
Right, so we need to sort your mask out as well now.
Okay, put it down there for a minute.
Probably be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's the sound of the oxygen
okay.
being breathed. It's a noise that you all have to get used to
okay.
because you're all going to be breathing at slightly different rates. So it makes that noise as you breathe in every time. Yeah, it's laugh. You know, it's a laugh. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Do
right.
this.
Yeah.
So, as I've said to everyone else, it's the one without the rubbery bit that goes around your neck, and then that goes literally under your chin and up, and then I stick that. What? Sorry. On the back of your head there, and then I tighten your straps to suit.
No, I won't.
Is that feels
snug?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you
were
quite enjoying it.
Yeah,
that's
out.
What I'm saying. I'm just tightening.
Oh.
Does it mean that one tube in and the other tube out?
Yeah. Some resistance against. Is the pure oxygen reused, or is it just
generated?
I think, no, it just comes by a, there's a tank of oxygen out there.
Right.
So it's always brand new oxygen that you're breathing every time. Every time. Because when you exhale, it's flushed out of the system every time. Right.
Okay.
You can, I'm going to do your tubes. Yes. That way you get to have a chat while you're going to down at pressure. Sorry. Right. So everybody's mask is okay now? Yeah? Everyone's attached? Excellent. Yeah.
Shut the door and I'm going in.
Okay.
Right, we're all ready to go?
Yeah.
Now, you're obviously going to feel the pressure, but do not suffer any pain. If it starts to hurt at all, just say stop. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. See you in a little while. Okay, so there's seven of us in here. A curious mixture between feeling like we should be dropped off the side of a ship, but we're actually sitting in NHS style armchairs, so a bit of an odd mix. But anyway, I'm here with six other good folks. Maybe so anybody want to tell me why you're here, what your interest is?
I'm here on behalf of my daughter. I hope to bring her today, but she's not well.
Okay.
She has migraines and ME and fibromyalgia, and I'd like her to. Experience
that
to
do
and see
some improvement
in her life.
All right, so just going to give it a try. See what you think.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm
going to
start pressurising now.
Okay.
Anybody else? Say what they're here.
Well, I'm here to help everybody else. I've personally got MS, and so I have time inside the chamber. But I'm also trained to be an operative on the outside of the chamber. So
I'm here to help. You find it's a lot of help to a lot of people?
Oh, definitely. What it's done for me, 5 years ago, the MS was so bad that I'd been given a wheelchair, which I was very unhappy about. And, having the oxygen,
That's the thing that's made the difference.
Very much so. I reacted badly to all their drugs, so it's the oxygen all the way for me.
Like being in an aeroplane with my ears are popping.
Yeah, the pressure's beginning to go up, certainly.
Yeah, you can feel the pressure and lots of swallowing or with your nose if you need to. Sometimes actually putting the mask on early can help the pressurising of the ear better. But do say if you're starting to you feel uncomfortable at all, and then we'll get him to slow down.
So this is everybody's first time in one of these? Certainly mine.
Yes.
Read about them often enough, but never seen one before today.
No. Is it, you know, first timers would always have somebody go in to make sure everything's okay, everybody's happy, because we don't want anyone getting stressed.
Are there any problems?
Occasionally, the odd person, don't depressure properly. I mean, personally, I always take a decongestant when I get up on the morning. I'm going to have my oxygen dive to be sure that all the passages are as clear as they could be.
I notice all the language is the language being dropped under the sea.
It's called your deep sea diving on dry land is the way I look at it.
Anybody been deep sea diving before? No.
Never done the real thing.
No, neither have I.
So I think everyone in here is here for a slightly different reason today, aren't you?
Well, I'm pretty much here for the same reason as Trevor, wasn't it? Yeah. Daughter,
yeah.
Myself and you, CFS, ME, fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
Extreme fatigue. Managed alternatives to simply diet and exercise that I was trying to work with before, and when you're really tired, exercise doesn't work.
No, it's the last thing you want to do, is
right.
Go for a jog.
Right. Well, that's good. I mean, it's the one thing you can say is it's like it's 100% positive, isn't it? What you're doing here is not doing anybody any harm. It can only make things better.
Exactly.
No side effects.
Well, yeah. As long as you make sure you're not bunged up, you shouldn't come if you're coming down with a cold
right.
or some really horrible ear pain,
yeah.
which you know at the end of the day nobody wants. But you're all smiling still at the minute, so we're doing good.
10,000 feet under and going down.
Pop thing again on the way back up as well as the way down. So, shouldn't cause any pain at all. It's actually easier than going down. So, in the oxygen when you're breathing. It's less effective because
yeah.
it's the pressure that you're down at that's making you accept more oxygen into your body.
Yeah.
So as you're coming back up, it's not going to,
no,
it's not quite as good. But if you want to carry on breathing it, you just work away. Some people stick their mask on as soon as they walk into the chamber,
right.
sit down, and that's them. All the way through to the bitter end
yeah.
when they open the door.
Yeah.
So the up down part is personal choice. But when you're doing the big dives, yeah, some people to the bitter end.
Mm. And how long does it take to get used to doing an hour? Because that was, you know, in quite 5 minutes in quite a long time, didn't it?
It depends. It's really strange. It depends on the day. Some dives zip past like that, and you're like, "Wow, was that really an hour?" And but other ones, it's like, oh, "Come on." You're reading your book, and you're like, "I've read this much already. Are we not done yet?" But
when you come for the first session, would you be an hour, or would it be a lot less?
When you're doing
the first session.
Yeah, if you're starting the protocol, it's. You start as an hour,
it's
straight
an hour,
off.
Straight away,
yeah,
right,
straight
yeah.
away.
Right on the deepest one?
No, not necessarily. Sometimes they might do like one or two 16 and a halfs or 24s to make it an easier transition.
Mm.
Claire's the lady in control. Claire, when you start the protocol now, do you do lesser dives first, or is it straight 33 all the way now?
No, we'll work it up and at the comfort of yourself,
yeah.
and then we'll put the pressure up a little bit more. I mean, if you're happy to go for the deeper, we can quite happily start that out, but we'll do the 16.5 quite a few times, then 24, and then work your way to the 33.
And what was that we just did?
It was just a five. So yeah, you're
teeny, teeny,
five.
Tiny
yeah.
taster
so
session.
It takes a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
Only five.
Easy ride.
Brilliant. Okay, we're back on land again. Dry land.
Well, it was brilliant to be able to make the leap from theory to practice and actually have a go at hyperbaric oxygen therapy myself. I think the team at the centre are wonderful, and I love their can-do attitude to helping people. I hope you've gained some insight into what the therapy consists of, and if you have cancer, you might be considering if it could help you. As usual, details of the centre and all the other resources mentioned in the show are on the Yes to Life website. Just go to yestolife.org.uk, yestolife, yestolife.org.uk, click the link to Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar, and then choose UK Health Radio. I do hope you'll be able to join me again for another delve into the world of integrative medicine for cancer in next week's show. Goodbye.